Open a public hearing on Senate Bill 481. Ms. Marshall, in just a minute, will give you a rundown of the bill. But I wanted to say just a couple things about process and about the next couple days in hearing. We're, of course, opening up hearings this week for the bottle bill, which you all know was adopted in 1971, the first in the nation, Oregon was, and really defined us nationally as a forward-thinking state, but there's been little change to the bill since that time, even though industry, consumers, and the products themselves have changed in some ways considerably. So the opinion of this committee, it's time to take a closer look at the methods we're using, at the bottle bill itself, and then consider whether or not it's time to make changes to the way that we implement the bill. Because of the interest and because of the complexity of the bottle bill, we will, after these 2 days of hearings, be appointing a work group to take a closer look at the details of the various forms of the bill that the committee has before it. And so for folks that are interested in serving on that committee, I'd like you, between now and the committee's hearing Thursday afternoon, to put your names into Sue Marshall, our committee administrator. I'm anticipating that we will probably have 7 folks serving on that committee. I'll be chairing that committee, and the committee will likely meet for approximately 2 weeks before coming back with a product that we can again hold a public hearing on, then moving towards a work session. So with that, Ms. Marshall?
Mr. Chair, before we go any further, you referred to this as the bottle bill, which I've always have too. I'm wondering why it's not the bottle of law, since it's now a law versus still being a bill.
We won't be opening that up to discussion anytime soon. But thank you, Senator Prozanski. Appreciate your thoughts very much. Ms. Marshall?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 481 creates a Beverage Product Stewardship Board, transfers duties of the Oregon Liquor Control Commission related to beverage container collection and refunds to the Beverage Product Stewardship Board, eliminates type of beverage containers subject to deposit provisions, increases deposit amount, eliminates the role of manufacturer and distributor in collection and refund of deposits, allows dealer to refuse to accept beverage container if the dealer is within the redemption convenience zone of a redemption center.
Thank you. Speaker Merkley, welcome to the Environment and Natural Resources Committee.
Courtney cool on his heels?
Yeah. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. It's a delight to be here. Jeff Merkley, Speaker of the House, and Representative of District 47. I came over to take the opportunity to express my support for improving, modifying, reforming Oregon's bottle bill. This is certainly an Oregon institution. It is a landmark. And for those of us who lived here in the early 70s, we saw a dramatic change in the state. I had the pleasure of being in Boy Scouts, where we'd go up and clean up litter in various places. And I quickly noticed the dramatic change that took place after this bill came to be. I also had a chance over the weekend. I was reading a book my father had written, and he was commenting on the fact, and he just wrote this for the family, but he was commenting on the fact that when we were sailing, because sailing was we would go out on the Columbian sail, we would make a practice of going out on the river and then to hone our skills, if you will, head up in the wind, go nose up to a bottle, and then have the other member of the sailing crew pluck the bottle out of the river. And then on one particular occasion, we filled virtually the entire boat with bottles and took them back. And that changed dramatically once the bottle bill was in place, because the river was no longer full of bottles, because people did not go and picnic along the river and just leave all of their bottles in place. Another experience I had was working in the summer of 1974 for a company where, during my lunch break, I'd always get an Orange Crush out of the vending machine. And at that time, the Orange Crush came in glass bottles, and every time I would get a different version of the glass bottle, I'd line it up on the wall of the lunchroom out at Trail Equipment, and And I think by the end of the summer, I had about 8 different versions of the bottle. Some of them had been washed and recycled, obviously, many, 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 many times reused. But the world has changed a lot since those early days. The products are different. Certainly the range of juices, the role of bottled water is different. The containers are dramatically different. And the value of a nickel is significantly different. So the time is certainly overdue for us to take a really thorough reexamination of this particular bill and strategy. At the time that we adopted this in the 70s, it was a landmark for Oregon, and it was a landmark for the nation, really a national model. And it was during the summer of 1976 when I was an intern in D.C. with Senator Hatfield. Senator Hatfield was trying to implement a national bottle bill based on Oregon. And that obviously didn't come to pass, but it certainly extended the conversation about the issues of resource use and recycling that were very important to our nation. So I'm here simply to say that many ideas are being put forward and that those ideas are related to capturing the change in the products, the change in the containers, the change in the value of a nickel, and I commend this, the work that this committee is going to do to try to wrestle with how to form the best bill from the viewpoint of the citizens, from the viewpoint of the grocery stores and the viewpoint of the distributors, all of those partners who are involved in this enterprise. To summarize simply, it's time to restore the luster of the Oregon Bottle Bill as a national model.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Committee? I must say I enjoy your story about the sailing and plucking the bottles out. I don't know that I was ever so skillful as a scout when I was a scout to be sailing the boat and plucking something out of the water at the same time.
It takes two people.
Okay, I don't know that you had that part in your story. We picked them up off the sides of trails, though.
Thank you
very much, Mr. Speaker. President Courtney and Representative Berger and Senator Verger, you just came in. I wonder if you would please take the table with the President and Representative Berger as well. Welcome, President Courtney.
Thank you. Is that my signal to go first?
If you wish to go first, if you want to delegate, I would guess we'd be happy to have you do that. But.
Sure. I'd like to defer to my fellow legislators, Representative Berger and Senator Berger, because they have worked so long and hard on this, so I'm just pleased that they let me join their team up here. And so I would like to defer to them if I could. And
very well.
Then if I think I have anything worthwhile to say after they do a splendid presentation, then I'll do so. Otherwise, I'm just here to show my support and to be honored to be with them, because I know a winner when I see one, buddy. So please, if you could, I appreciate your being allowed. I mean, to go first, but I'd like to defer to my distinguished.
Thank you, Representative.
Always a gentleman. Mm-hmm.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, as is usual, the President of the Senate wants the last word. And I, for one, am not about to stand in his way.
Representative Berger, don't worry.
I am State Representative Vicki Berger for the record.
Representative Berger, don't worry. The questions that we would be asking you will be asking the President.
Oh, all right. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Okay. Thank you for having this hearing. Thank you for inviting me. I will not give extensive testimony, but I have a certain vested interest in this whole matter because I am, and I've told this story before, and I won't go into it at length, but I am the only living witness to the actual birth of the Oregon Bottle Bill. It happened in Pacific City, Oregon. My father, as was his habit, took a walk on the beach in the 60s. He walked a lot in Oregon. In fact, he climbed every peak in Oregon and, in fact, the highest point in every state in the United States. And it was his goal at one point to hike every mile of beach in the state of Oregon. I don't know if he attained it or not. I never asked, but that was his goal. But we have a place in Pacific City. We were there, and he came back from a trip to the beach, and he was always brought garbage with him and was appalled by, at that time, all the cans and litter and whatnot. He read an article in the newspaper that morning about something they were going to try in British Columbia about forced redemption. And he said, this is the answer. This is absolutely the answer. I remember him hearing him saying, that's the answer. And my mother and I sat there and said, what's the question? You know, he was just talking to himself. He called Paul Hanneman, who was our state representative, because at the time we were living in Pacific City, that day. And Paul can relay this story if you ever get him started on it, having this constituent call him and say, meet me in Pacific City right now. I've got an idea. And that was the birth of the Oregon Bottle Bill, that incident right there. He worked tirelessly. He was not alone. And a lot of people have said, oh, well, you have this legacy. Something like this doesn't happen alone. It won't happen alone this time either. But it was passed in 1971 by a Republican legislature and signed by a Republican governor. I just want to point that out. I also want to point out that it was incredibly hard fought. Those of us who were sort of on the insider of it realized that big national players came in. I could tell you stories of investigations into my father's business and whatnot, because they couldn't believe a single citizen would be that committed to an idea. There was big money, there was big business, there was big disputes. People said, you can't do this, you can't do this. It was a battle for a couple of sessions. And in the end, Oregon had the first landmark bottle bill, and it is a landmark, and it has some components that we mustn't lose sight of. It's a simple bill, and it is an Oregon icon. It is one of the standards that we as Oregonians sort of measure ourselves by. We remember the bottle bill. We all have stories. Speaker Merkley just told you his. All of you could tell your stories about recycling and, the bottle bill and how it relates. And this is an important point. For 30-plus years, it has worked. The bottle bill covered containers have one of the highest recycling rates in the country. It works for the containers that are covered. So what has changed to make it imperative that we mess with our bottle bill? That's my problem. Your problem, all of our problems. Who would have believed in 1971 that Oregonians would embrace this product, when we have some of the nicest water in the world? But the fact of the matter is, we now bottle our rain in plastic bottles, and they are everywhere because they are not covered by the bottle bill. You will hear from DEQ later on the issue of plastic containers, and I won't belabor that. My point is simply that we have a class of highly recyclable containers which are not covered and should be. There are others, but this is my radar screen. And clearly the marketplace has changed in 35 years, but the bottle bill has not. Now, I warn you that updating the bottle bill will not be easy, just as the original bottle bill was not. It has always been, in my opinion, a three-way dance. There's the distributors, there's the grocers, and there's the consumers. And I firmly believe that the consumers hold first position here, and they should not be forgotten, even as all of the advocacy groups for others come forward. For over 30 years, the consumers have supported this idea. They've paid the redemption. They've returned. They've complained about reverse spending. They've, grousing sometimes, but when you talk to people, it's their bill. And what you don't hear is, oh, I hate it, let's repeal it. They love their bottle bill. They love it that it's part of our mythology. And you will hear much from the grocers and distributors, and I have great respect for the work that they've done to make the bottle bill work. I don't deny that. But I have an even greater respect for the consumers who have embraced this piece of legislation and branded it as their very own. So let this session honor that commitment by making this year the year that we bring our bottle bill into this century and cover the containers that we use today that were never even conceived of when the original bottle bill was passed. I thank you. I'm anxious to hear the testimony. I will be watching, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
No, thank you, Representative. Senator Berger.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Joanne Berger, and I'm a senator from District 5, which is a coastal area from Coos Bay to Lincoln City. I am here today to speak in support of an expansion of the bottle bill, 481. Mr. Chairman, we cannot continue to brag about and take pride in the bottle bill and the land use that all happened 20 and 25 years ago. It is time that we do something that is our own achievement. And this is our opportunity to shine in this legislature because we have a great need. You're going to hear over and over again about why this is the time to revisit the bottle bill. And it's because people see on our beaches and along our roadsides hundreds of thousands of these plastic bottles. And Representative Berger was exactly right. They weren't here when her father introduced the bottle bill. So I think it's time that we bring sensible legislation that will meet the needs of 2007. We must ensure that we do not continue to see these popular plastics all along our beaches and our roads, as well as in our landfills and our trash cans. These bottles are a new addition to our lifestyle. And because of this, during the last session, I wanted us to have this conversation. And so I turned to my policy advisor, who is here today with me, Ted Kaiser, who worked for me in the last session, and I told him that I wanted us to accomplish this worthy goal and put together something that we could just kind of jab all of us to have this conversation. Well, we brought it forth last session. We dropped the bill, but it just didn't bring forth the conversation. So, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm back. And I'm hoping now to tell you again, we need to have this conversation. I want Ted to have just a minute, Mr. Chairman, with your permission, to just tell you just a little bit about the effort that he went to. This is 3 years of work for us, and so I know that you can appreciate that. Is that all right?
Well, why don't we do that now with you at the table, Senator Berger?
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Bakken and members of the committee. My name is Teddy Kaiser. So the genesis of this bill started around 3 years ago when a constituent retailer had given Senator Berger a tour of their facility in the back rooms and the negative impact that it had had on their store. Independently of that, I had come to Senator Berger asking for a modernization of the bottle bill, and naturally she put me in charge of her bill. So over the course of the last 3 years, we have worked with all of the various different stakeholders in trying to come up with a bill that meets the needs of most of those stakeholders. The distributors had come to us and said that they, in many ways, have been put in the management of the bottle bill, but they don't have any desire to be part of the management. They're not in solid waste management. So they also, if we are going to expand the bottle bill to include those water bills, you can't have the distributors as part of that management. And so we've written them out of the bottle bill. The retailers, in many ways, have the messiest job of sorting our bottles and also have been given a lot of the financial burden without any of the financial successes of the bottle bill. And so we've moved to rectify that. the recyclers, the environmentalists, the solid waste management people, many of the others really wanted us to modernize the bill to bring it to today's needs. They were very concerned about the fact that our compliance has deteriorated dramatically since 1971. We used to have a 94% compliance in the bottle bill. Today we have 78% compliance. And you can chart that with the value of the nickel. It almost goes exactly with the value of the nickel. Today, the value of a nickel that was in 1971 would take 24 cents. Most of that came from the high inflation of the 70s. And we have precedent in Michigan where they have a 10 cent deposit and they have a 94% compliance. They lead the nation. So we know what to do. They also are very concerned about the fact that the consumer has changed so much in what they use for the bottles and cans and plastic. So we have expanded the bottle bill to include that. So we have worked tirelessly hundreds of hours with various different constituency groups and stakeholders to try to come up with the best revision of the bottle bill. One of the things we found out right from the very beginning, there is no way that you can just tinker with the bottle bill. There's no way you can put a little patch. It really takes a comprehensive revision. So with concluding, I would like to mention one other stakeholder, and that is Oregonians. I'm going to go out on a limb here, but I would say that the Oregon Bottle Bill is the one bill, more than any others, that Oregonians identify with. They take great pride in the Oregon Bottle Bill, and we see that with the emails and the phone calls that we get. So we have a real duty to make sure that we put in the time and the effort to make sure that we live up to their expectations, that we're diligent to make sure that it is financially solvent, that we bring it to the modern age. And with that, I thank you, Chair Bakken and the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for letting us talk about our efforts. We can hardly expect Solve, our wonderful beach cleanup group, to go and clean up the kind of work they have to do. Your Rotary, your Lions along the highways where they adopt a piece of the highway and are spending much of their time in picking up all of this litter. House Senate Bill 481, or a bill like it, a concept like it, can be our achievement. And so thank you for having us today.
Well, thank you, Mr. Kaiser and Senator Verger. Both your testimony is very helpful to the committee. And Senator Verger, always nice having you here. Committee, any questions for the two? Senator Bates?
Senator Verger, you said we want to have a discussion on this. And I agree with that, but I think you want to have more than a discussion. I think many of us want to have more than a discussion. We want something resolved in this session.
Thank you very much, Senator Bates, for that question, because you're absolutely right. We want something to come out of this session that is going to help us. And if you visited my district and saw the small grocery owners and their bottle rooms, if you have never seen anything more unhealthy, Dr. Bates.
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. President, I appreciate you being so gracious to allow others to go before you.
Well, thank you, Chair Bakken. It's nice you say that to me. And Vice Jackson, and Senator Bates, Senator Bazansky, and Senator Beyer, Committee Administrator Marshall. My name is Peter Courtney, and I'm a state senator here in Oregon. I live at 2925 Island View Drive North. In Salem, 97303, and I'm glad I can't bring the sense of history, remarkable history, that the good state representative, Vicki Berger, brings. I mean, to be able to say that your family brought something as special to Oregon that her family has brought, that is remarkable. And then to have the kind of intensity and history with this bill that Senator Berger has, I fall far short. So my remarks will be very concise. All I'll say is I'll never be able to call myself a native Oregonian. My wife's a native, our three boys are native, and my little dog's a native. But I'll never be able to have that privilege. I came out here on July 9th, 1969, all by myself. I didn't know anything. But it was interesting. If there was two things that drew me to one day wanting to be in the legislature, it was just this Capitol building, because I lived at the Y just down the street. I just loved walking around this place. And this thing called this bottle bill, it just fascinated me. I didn't understand it. I couldn't understand, because I came from a part of the country that throws everything away and just trashes everything up. And so I just couldn't understand this thing called this bottle bill. And so it long has fascinated me. And I consider it a high honor to be perhaps part of a session, and I'm not going to prejudge any of you or this session, that just might redo this bill in a way that modernizes it and expands it. I understand, and this is from DEQ, that with the time when they passed this thing, it was House Bill 1036 and 71. It was about 24% of return that was going on. And it jumped to 94%. It's averaged about 90%. And the average is about 30%, I understand, other states that don't have this kind of legislation. And we all know what's happened to us in the last 30 years or more in our country in terms of the containers that we use. I just think it's part of being an Oregonian, that you return your bottles and cans. That's just what Oregonians do, regardless of one's political philosophy or their views. Just like it's part of being an Oregonian not to pump your own gas. That's just something we don't do out here. We don't do that. And if you try to do it, and you're a politician, well, you won't be one for long. And so we return our bottles and cans, and we don't pump our own gas. And we're very proud of that. And so I realize that to find a path to expand this bill is not going to be easy. I'm looking at all of you, because I put you up there, and I'm wondering what have I asked you to go and do. It is going to be difficult. But I really do think that, I love to say Oregonians love to be first or only. The first state to do something or the only state not to do it. And, buddy, I will tell you, this is a first. This was a first. And it's not a Democrat or Republican thing. It's not a rural urban thing. I mean, you've heard from the good Representative Vicky Berger. This is nothing about party. This is nothing about regions. This is just who we are as a people, I'm convinced, heart and soul. And so I think I've signed on to every bottle bill that was put in front of me, and even some that probably they're still drawing up. And so I think it's just an honor to be in front of this committee this day, that you're going to hear this legislation. I think it's an honor to be in the Oregon legislature this time, to know that this will be the first generation of legislators that will return to this great piece of work, and that will modernize it. So thank you very much for allowing me to testify today, and I wish you good luck. And if I can help you in any way, please let me know. And I want to thank Representative Vicky Berger and Senator Verger as well for letting me to even sit up here beside both of these extraordinary legislators.
Committee? Well, Mr. President, thank you. And Mr. President and Speaker Merkley, Representative Berger and Senator Verger, committee is very pleased to have you here today. Thank you. Bob Danko and Peter Spendelow.
Do you
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You caught me off guard. I apologize. I'm Bob Danko with the Department of Environmental Quality. With me today is Peter Spindelow. He's what we call our bottle bill expert. I just want to present a little bit of information about the bottle bill to act as a support mechanism for the committee's work. I'll just lay out some of the facts and some of the figures and how we got here today and maybe where we should go. We've all talked about 1971, but interestingly, 35 years, 31.1 billion containers have been returned for deposit. That's $1.76 billion have been returned for deposit. We've recycled 4,100,000 tons of glass in the bottle bill, 300,000 tons of aluminum. We've saved the equivalent of 620 million gallons of gasoline. And for those into climate change and carbon dioxide equivalents, the equivalent of keeping 1.3 million cars off the road for a year just by recycling containers instead of disposing them. The bottle bill's been an enormous success. But things have changed. Distributors have formed joint ventures to make collection from stores more efficient. Refillable bottles. That's all we had when the bottle bill started. Now we don't have refillable bottles anymore. We have the plastic bottles, the juice drinks, the drink boxes, pouches. And, of course, we have the growth in the sports drinks and water. And people have talked about the water. I've included a simple chart as an attachment showing the disposal of water bottles. 1998, maybe 30 million. 2000, 40-some million. 2002, approaching 80 million. 2005, almost 130 million water bottles disposed of in Oregon. In 2007, we might be up this year up to in the range of 170 million water bottles being disposed of. Somebody mentioned reverse vending machines. We've also had the growth of store brands, meaning that when a store takes back containers, they will not take a store brand unless they sold that store brand. So redemption is becoming more difficult for the public. And, of course, we talked about the value of the nickel. I always want, in a presentation like this, I always want to show the drawing of how the bottle bill works. And I attached that to the testimony. I just like the drawing. We've seen this many times, how the container flows and how the money flows. It's unique to Oregon. There are other systems out there that we can look at as we try to refresh our bottle bill. Maine, Vermont, Massachusetts have, of course, we were first. They've looked at ours. They've done different things. Their distributors pay an extra handling fee to support the redemption centers. California and Hawaii went to a system where the state ends up with the deposit and all the unredeemed deposits. And the state then pays out the money to the redemption centers to collect the containers. In British Columbia and Alberta, they've used what we call industry stewardship organizations who have gone together to do the whole system. So there's different approaches out there following what we did here in Oregon. So you've heard that in 1973, the recycling rate under the bottle bill was over 90%. As you also heard that in 2005, it's down to 78.5%. It's dropping. The amount recycled is 82% because 4% get recycled at the curb. No deposit gets back, but they're recycled at the curb. The non-bottle bill container rate is in Oregon is 36%. So on the one hand, we have 82%. On the other hand, we have 36%. So what I've attached to the testimony, attachment 3 and attachment 4, gets into the numbers, and I don't want to labor them, but we disposed of 255 million containers under the bottle bill and redeemed over a billion. So that's where you get your 82%. Water bottles specifically are being recycled outside of the bottle bill only at 32%. Your juices are down to 28%. And the last chart I want to call your attention to is on the very back of the page. It talks about the deposits, what happens to the deposits. There are what we call disposed deposits. The containers, you pay a deposit on, but ends up in the landfill. About $12.7 million a year in deposits get buried. Another $3.2 million of deposits gets recycled at the curb, so the deposit doesn't come back. So basically, we're talking about $16 million a year of deposits that either get disposed of or unredeemed through the recycling system. That's the background, and I'm anxious to hopefully DEQ can be part of the work group, Mr. Chair, and we're really anxious to work on this, and this is very important to us.
Thank you. Questions, committee? None?
You got off easy.
For now, I think you'll be back again. Stephanie Halleck.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. I'll just take a moment. I'm Stephanie Halleck, the Director of the Department of Environmental Quality, and I'm really here as much for myself as I am in my official role. I am a native Oregonian, and I'm really excited to be here today and really glad that we at DEQ can play a part in this conversation and provide some of the background information. My dad was one of the legislators who, in fact, was involved in the original bottle bill on the Senate side in 1971, and so it's in my blood, I guess one could say. And when I became the director at the end of 2000, I remember going to Bob Danko, who you just heard, and I said, "Oh, I'm the director, and the first thing that I want to do is revisit the bottle bill." And so Bob and I chatted about that and sort of evaluated the times we were in, and concluded that perhaps the time was not right then. The time is right now, and I am really excited to see this committee and this body willing to take on the issue. We stand ready to help provide information. You're going to, as you alluded to, there'll be other discussions, potentially other bills, a lot of conversation about how to make this work in the modern age for Oregon. But I personally am very glad to be able to be here. I'm sorry my dad is not. I think you probably know he passed away last month, and I'm sorry he can't know that this conversation is going on, but maybe he does know. You know, we don't know. But I'm really happy to be here. I'm happy to help, and really pleased that you're taking it on, and I appreciate just having a couple of minutes to come and tell you that. Thank you.
Well, we like to think you would be here in any way that would be possible, but it is a pleasure having you here just the same. Committee, any questions? None? Thank you very much. That's all we have for testimony today, but to the committee, we really embark down a quite historic path again, not unlike the committee did in 1971. And that committee in 71 had its ordeals and its hurdles, but did it with great success. And I don't anticipate anything but that this time around as well. I did want to mention, too, we gaveled in one bill today. There's one bill back from Legislative Council. There are a couple others that are in LC drafts that will be before the committee very soon, certainly in time for the work group to be taking a look at, and certainly in time for public hearings as well. And don't forget that anybody who is interested in serving on the work group, please get your name in to Sue Marshall by the end of the day on Thursday, because we'll be picking a work group and announcing it at that point so that they can get to work first thing next week. And with that, we will close. Oh, sorry, Senator Atkinson.
Quick question for the committee. 4 years ago, you all supported a little idea bill that I was working on. It was called Keep Oregon Rivers Clean Act. And it was a recycle program that cleaned up the edges of rivers, namely Line, Ledge, Leader. And it also has it was built on the same model as the bottle bill. And it worked so well that last year we took it statewide. And in fact, you go right across the river now into West Salem, you see that the boat launches and whatnot. And I'm wondering if somehow that can't be tied together with the conversation on recycling that we're going to have on this time around, because there's a lot of energies, and it was built on the same principle, and it was a public-private partnership.
Look at it.
Yeah.
Sir.
Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Something that is potentially missing from DEQ's testimony that Bob Dankel handed out was he talked about the recycling rate and redemption rate of Oregon, but it doesn't, and it mentions other states that have done other systems, but it doesn't mention anywhere the recycling rates or the redemption rates of those other states that also have some sort of a bottle law. Not bottle bill. And so if DEQ could give us that information, if they have it, it would be beneficial.
Very good. Anything else, committee? Senator Pazansky.
Mr. Chair, I'm not sure at what time you would want us as members to be giving input as to things we may be thinking of. So, I mean, this is something that I know my first session in 95, I tried to pick up where my predecessor was starting, Carl Hostick at the time, to do some expansion. And let's say the tide was much stronger in opposition than even going forward. And looking at the redemption rates as to what has not been, let's say, redeemed, it does seem like there's potential money there that could help out in some different areas. And I guess I'd also be curious as to Senator Atkinson's own experiences. I know that since the mid-80s, since I've been more cycling, road cycling, I've seen in the last 5 to 6 years many more cans that are under the bottle bill and that are not being picked up and being basically discarded, as we've heard from the aide for Senator Verger as to, you know, the value of that nickel. And it just seems to me that I hope that we are going to have a very open discussion, and there will be some time that, since all of us will not be able to serve on the committee, to have some type of input into the process of some of the areas that you may be leading the work group to.
Well, I think, you know, it's a very fair question. I am, you know, on Thursday we'll have, you know, more time devoted to public testimony, and we have time set aside the following Tuesday that can spill over into. And I, you know, I certainly think it would be appropriate for us to have conversations at the dais on it. But in addition to that, the committee is really going to have to roll up their sleeves and do the work on the various bills. And the concepts are broad enough in some of these that it might encompass things that we're thinking of, but they might not. So input to the committee, or input to me to take to the committee, not only welcome, but I think necessary.
Great. Senator Bates.
Thank you. DEQ might be able to help us with this. I'd like to know what happens to, as far as breakdown of plastic bottles in landfills, how long it takes and what it's like 5, 10, 15, 20 years there in comparison to recycling these. I mean, we're talking about redeeming and recycling. They're two different, potentially two different things. I'd like to have a little bit of background on what goes on there. You can give us that later on.
Okay, very good. I am at committee. We do have one more item before us today before we quit, but I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 481. And if Loretta Pickrell and Peter Spendlow don't mind coming up, then you've got a presentation for us, information on rigid plastic container recycling. And since we haven't had a chance to talk before, and can you just give me some rough idea on how many minutes you've got?
About 10 minutes.
Perfect.
Thank you, Chair Bakke and members of the committee. My name is Loretta Pickerell. I'm a solid waste manager at the Department of Environmental Quality. With me is Peter Spindelow, who you met earlier. He's an expert on rigid plastic containers as well as a bottle bill. As you may know, the Oregon Rigid Plastic Container Law requires the department to report to the legislature if we determine that the aggregate recycling rate for all rigid plastic containers in Oregon falls below 25%. The law also requires the legislature to hold a hearing on the rate decrease. We're here because DEQ has determined that the recycling rate for 2007 will be below 25%. We appreciate the opportunity to be here today for this hearing so that we can meet our responsibilities under the statute. The Rigid Plastic Container Law is part of the Comprehensive Oregon Recycling Act that passed unanimously in 1991. It established reuse and recycling requirements for all rigid plastic containers sold or offered for sale in Oregon. Now, a rigid plastic container includes, by definition, bottles, tubs, pails, cookie trays, clamshells, and similar containers that are 8 ounces to 5 gallons in size. The law specifically exempts containers of food other than beverages, drugs, and medical devices. Any container meets the requirements of the law if the aggregate recycling rate for all rigid plastic containers in Oregon is at least 25%. If that rate falls below 25%, containers must comply with the law using one of the other options provided in the statute. They must be a type of container, such as rigid, a resin type or size and shape and design, that is recycled at a rate of at least 25%,
or it must be a product-associated package such as Brand X detergent or all Brand X containers that are recycled at a rate of 25% or more, or it must contain a minimum of 25% recycled content, or it must be used, reused, or refilled at least 5 times. And each December, DEQ determines what the aggregate recycling rate for compliance purposes will be for the following year. The rigid plastic container law has worked. It jump-started recycling of plastics at a time when most curbside programs and depots that took newspapers, cans, and glass did not take plastics. And attachment 1 in the handout shows what's happened with the recycling rate for rigid plastic containers since DEQ first began calculating the rate in 1993. And if you look at the graph, you'll see that, well, first before I get into it, I should note that the recycling rate is simply the tons of containers recycled divided by the tons recycled plus the tons disposed. So in other words, it's the recycling rate is simply the fraction of all containers generated that are recycled each year. Between 1993 and 1995, the recycling rate increased steadily. What was happening is that curbside collection and depot programs were beginning to take these materials, education campaigns were kicking in, and the public was responding. And the increases in recycling outpaced the increases of in disposal during this period of time. Between 1996 and 2000, recycling remained fairly stable. Recycling continued to increase, but not quite as fast as disposal. And for the period between 2001 and 2005, the recycling rate for rigid plastic containers actually began to decline. The tons disposed continued to climb, while the tons recycled actually leveled off. And in December of 2006, DEQ determined that the recycling rate for compliance purposes for 2007 would be below 25%. In making this determination, we considered the actual recycling rates for 2005 and 2004, which were below just below 25%. And we looked at other factors that were likely to affect rates, such as the trends in container sales and the price for recycled plastic. This is the first time that DEQ has determined the rate for the following year would be below 25%. What this means is that by law, no action is required in 2007, the first year after we've determined the rate will fall below 25% for the following year. In December of this year, DEQ will determine the aggregate recycling rate for compliance purposes for 2008. Unless we determine that the aggregate rate for 2008 will be above 25%, beginning in January of 2008, product manufacturers will have to comply with one of the other options under the law for the containers they use to sell their products in Oregon. In looking at what's causing this recycling rate to decline, we've identified two primary contributing factors. The first is the rising sale of beverages in containers with low recycling rates, that is, the non-bottle bill beverage containers, coupled with the declining rate in the beverages with higher recycling rates, the bottle bill beverages. For example, water and juice sales in plastic containers are dramatically increasing. Those containers are recycled on average at 30%. At the same time, the sale of soft drinks, recycled at about 70 to 85%, are declining. And so these two factors together are working to lower our recycling rates. The second main factor is that the increased sales in non-bottle containers, such as tubs and trays and pails and clamshell containers. Because most curbside programs do not currently collect these containers, that increase is also lowering our overall recycling rate. On the positive side, a number of proposals are currently being considered that could significantly increase plastics recycling. We'll address 4 of those. The first you've heard about, it's expanding the Oregon bottle bill to include water, juice, or other beverages. In 2005, Oregonians disposed of almost 7,000 tons of water, juice, tea, and sports drink bottles alone. So you can see capturing even a fraction of those would get us back over the 25% recycled rate for rigid plastic containers. The second proposal would be adding tubs, pails, and other non-bottle plastics to curbside collection programs. We disposed of over 21,000 tons of non-bottle plastic containers last year. And typically, these containers are recycled at a lower rate than beverage containers, but even so, collecting them curbside would boost our recycling rate. Thirdly, we can increase the recovery of the 5-gallon buckets and other containers that aren't collected curbside. And fourthly, we could improve the sorting efficiency at material recovery surveys to reduce the loss and disposal of the containers that are collected for recycling. Now, many of you may have heard recently of the in the news about the plastic bottles that are collected for recycling but are being disposed of. What's happening is that there's a shift. When we shifted to commingled collection around 2000, many of our curbside programs shifted to commingled recycling. When that occurred, we did increase the volume of containers that we collected for recycling. Unfortunately, some of the material recovery surveys that have to sort those containers haven't been able to keep pace with those increased volumes. And as a result, about 18% of the plastic bottles that were collected commingled for recycling in 2005 were not properly sorted at the material recovery surveys facilities. They weren't separated from newsprint and instead were included in the bales that went to the paper mills, though they were disposed of in the pulping process. So that loss accounted for about 1,700 tons last year. So clearly improving the sorting capacity of these facilities will help us increase that rate. The container product manufacturers, consumers, collection programs, material recovery facilities, recyclers, as well as the EQ, all share responsibility in making these and other steps happen so that we do increase the recycling rate. With concerted effort by all of these parties to improve our recycling programs and our systems, DEQ believes that we can get the rate up above 25% for 2008 and beyond, and that's certainly our goal. Finally, in a related matter, in January, DEQ received a petition requesting the Environmental Quality Commission to initiate rulemaking to amend Oregon's rigid plastic container rules. The petition was filed on behalf of 11 industry associations that are subject to the rigid plastic container law. Our commission will be considering that petition at its meeting this Friday in Salem. With that, I'll conclude my remarks, but Peter and I are happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Senator Pozanski.
I've got two or three, Mr. Chair. I guess I'll start with the last one about the petition.
Mm-hmm.
What is the petition requesting?
The petition is requesting that the EQC initiate rulemaking to amend our rigid plastic container rules. It's asking two basic things, that we redefine recycled to include containers that are collected for recycled, whether or not they're actually recycled. And it's asking that we allow product manufacturers that package products in rigid plastic containers, that we allow them to use corporate averaging when to calculate minimum content requirements. Right now, each container needs to meet the 25% minimum content requirement.
Okay, fine. Follow up?
No, please go ahead.
Regarding what if the rate goes below 25%, on your first page of testimony, you go through the different types of containers, the resin types.
Yes.
It's my understanding from my days in working on a board for a recycler on their board of directors that there's different value for different resin types. And I'm assuming what you're saying is that if it goes below, then the DEQ or the state IE would be able to say we're going to require manufacturers to use certain type of resin types that have a higher recycled value or availability to bring that number back up. Is that correct?
Senator Pozanski and members of the committee, not exactly. If the rate falls below 25%, product manufacturers have can comply under any of the other options under the law. And one of those allows them to comply using minimum content requirement. Another allows them to comply using a type of resin that itself is recycled at least a 25% rate. So they could decide that HDPE or a different kind of resin, they could say we're going to package our containers in products with that type of resin, and if that resin is recycled at least 25%, they can meet the requirements of the law using that resin. We, DEQ, don't require them to do that. They have the range of options. They can use a type of container recycled at least 25%. They can use product-associated packages recycled at that rate. They can use minimum content, or they can use refillable or reusable bottles. We don't specify, and we don't require a certain type of resin.
Is it possible that if we did require that some type of mandate as to the type of resin that's used, that we'd be able to accomplish the same goals?
Senator Pozanski, member of the committee, I'm not sure if we could or not. Do you have any thoughts on that, Peter?
Well, we certainly could. If everybody moved to use, for instance, PET, it would make your recycling a lot easier. The issue you're going to hear is that the different types of plastic resins have different characters. Mm-hmm. And so it might be that, for instance, you wouldn't want to put some type of material in PET because it allows oxygen to get in a little easier than some of the other plastics do. Or there might be other characters like that. But certainly, you know, it would make some things very much easier. for instance, polyvinyl chloride bottles had commonly been used where PET bottles are now, and those are very difficult to recycle under current circumstances. So any move that would move people from polyvinyl chloride to PET would certainly make everybody's recycling a lot easier.
Okay. Since we finally hooked you into saying something, why don't you go ahead and just say your name for the record?
Oh, Peter Spendlow.
Good.
And one other question, if I could. There's a bill that I've introduced that didn't make it through the system last time, and it's here again, that actually would allow individuals to be able to, let's say, glean out of the waste stream recyclable items and have them actually being recycled. Do you think that's an approach, if we can actually demonstrate that you could actually pull stuff that's headed to the landfill out of the landfill stream and put it into the recycling? That's something that we should be looking at as an alternative to maintaining the higher percentage of recyclables.
Senator Brzozinski, members of the committee, I'm not sure I understand the question. We do that right now. I mean, that's what we do at mature recovery facilities. We're sorting. Most of those are sorted for recycling. Some transfer stations, we are already pulling out recyclables, and we're pulling them out in different kinds of programs at depots and other places. So I'm not sure what that bill would add to what we're already doing.
I understand the MRF process and how you glean stuff out of the those type of systems, but like multifamily dwellings do not have requirements for recycling, at least in my understanding, to certain levels and stuff, and a lot of them do not, give options to those who are living in those type of facilities. And there are companies that do attempt to take out of the dumpsters that are they're going to go directly into the landfill items that could be recycled and are in fact recycled through other means. And that's what this bill would actually allow for the managers or the operators of these multifamily dwellings to have happen on their properties.
Senator Brzozinski, members of the committee, there are many ways to address recycling at multifamily dwellings, and we are pursuing some of those. We haven't taken a position on the bill that you're referring to.
I didn't ask if you took a position on that. I'm just wondering if you think. I mean, to me, what we're trying to do is keep stuff out of the landfill. Save the landfill, as you know, as most of us, to open up a new landfill, what the criteria is and how expensive that is. And clearly, if we have materials that are going in there, filling volume as compared to putting it into the recycling stream, it seems like we get, let's say, maybe two bangs for the buck as to increasing the recycling rate and also saving the space in the landfills for stuff that really needs to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Senator. Anything else, committee? Nothing. Thank you both for being here today. Appreciate it. Testimony was helpful, and with that, we will be adjourned.
Thank you.